How do you do? Imagine that you were a child alone and you had to stay alive in a country at war. And you had no home, no family, no friends. What would you do? If you failed, you would die. If you survived, you might congratulate yourself on your cleverness and strength, like the boy in this story. Then he learned there was another factor he had never considered. And his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Ruth, the news is worse.
Well, what's going to happen to our children? We must do something to protect them.
Ruth, you must take Henrik to the orphanage. His Jewish heritage must be concealed.
Mendel, how can I leave our son?
We must leave him. It's his only chance for survival.
Oh, my son. I want you to make a promise, Henrik. One you must always carry with you. A promise you must never forget. Do not tell anyone that you are a Jew.
But, Mother, why?
Because they don't like Jews here. You must watch your words. You must be careful what you say. You must always remember now what I have told you.
I will, Mother.
You must learn to be strong, Henrik. From now on, you are no longer my child. Now you are a man. Remember, be strong. I will come often to see you.
Proclaiming the good news through true life stories of real people, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. It may seem macho to hunt your own food, unless you're homeless, and then it's an ordeal. And it may seem romantic to sleep under the stars, unless it's below zero and your coat is threadbare. And try wearing the same clothes day after day, or getting a job when you have no address. Well, that's why Pacific Garden Mission is a haven in downtown Chicago. The doors are always open, and so are the hearts. Always room for one more, always a clean, safe place to sleep, fresh clothing, a shower, and of course a nourishing meal. The mission even provides medical and dental treatment if needed, and all without charge. Street people find a new beginning at the old lighthouse with the help of counselors and pastors, with classes and Bible study, and more than anything else, with the one who gave his life to set them free. And now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 2508 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. He was a boy, less than 10 years old, with three older brothers who had already been taken to Germany as slave laborers when his mother left him in a Warsaw orphanage to save his life. How could he understand that a world at war offered no help to him, not in Poland, already ravaged by the Nazis? Abandoned by his family, he would have to survive on his own. This is the incredible story of how he did. The true story of a man called Henrik Weikert, right now on Unshackled.
My mother's body trembled as she embraced me that day. Her eyes were filled with love and intense fear as she left me. That memory would be etched in my mind for life. Week after week, I waited for my mother to come back, but she never came. Germans ran the orphanage where she left me, so I absorbed their language, their propaganda. At age 11, I went with other boys by train to Germany, but they didn't choose me for work program because of my small size. Back to Poland I went. But instead of returning to the orphanage, I slipped away to find my old neighborhood. When I knocked on the door of my house, a woman dressed in a German uniform answered and sent me away. As I walked the streets, I saw an old playmate, but he ignored my calls and ran into his house.
Where are my parents? Please tell me.
Get away from this place. Please go quickly.
But why? What's happened?
All right, come inside. There are no Jews in this neighborhood now. The Germans have forbidden us to even take Jews into our homes. If we do, it means death to the whole family. You have put me in great danger.
Where's my family? There's a German living in our house.
I'll tell you where they are, but then you must go. Your family has been taken to the ghetto. You might find them there, I don't know. The wall outside is crawling with guards. Maybe you can't get in, but now go. Out the back door, tell no one you were here.
I found the Warsaw ghetto at dusk, and as I hid, wondering how to get past the guards, some boys my age appeared. They were smugglers who showed me how to penetrate the walls through the sewers. Inside was chaos. 500,000 people jammed into every conceivable space, all starving. Death carts rattled by, loaded with the dead. How would I find my parents? All day I searched. At noon the next day, I saw an old neighbor.
Mr. Friedman! Wait! I must talk to you!
Henrik, can it be you? The last I heard, you were sent off to the orphanage. Sit down on this step and tell me how you got here.
I snuck in yesterday looking for my parents. Do you know where they are?
No, I'm afraid not. They came here when I did, but I've long since lost track of them.
One of our old neighbors gave me an address here.
There are no more addresses in this place. 10 families live in one flat, so it's impossible to find anyone. If you have good luck, you may find them. If not, perhaps they're dead.
That can't be!
Henrik, let me give you some advice. Don't spend too much time looking for them. You're young and strong. If you stay in the ghetto, you will grow weak like the rest of us. Don't die here. Do everything you can to save yourself.
Already I was starving, so I knew he was right. I crawled out through the sewers and left the city to try my luck at farms around Warsaw. Again and again, Polish farmers turned me away, fearful that I was a Jew. Although I was blonde with blue eyes like my mother, I had no papers to prove my identity. Secretly, I ate with pigs and slept in barns, until one day I stopped at a farm confiscated by a German who looked just like Hitler, mustache and all.
What do you want?
Do you have work for me here?
Yeah, there's plenty of work here, but you are just a boy.
Please give me a chance. I'll prove I'm a good worker.
Well, you're big enough to tend the cows and carry the water. How much do you want?
Give me food and a place to sleep. Then if you think I'm a good worker, you can pay me something.
All right. You can go to work. But show me your papers first.
I have no papers. They were lost.
Are you a Jew?
No, I'm not a Jew.
Are you lying to me?
No, I am Polish.
Then we won't worry about the papers. I'll see that you get them.
I went to work for him, and he let me sleep in the barn, where the straw was warm but full of lice. I ate my meals outside the kitchen door. Being a fanatical and influential Nazi, he quickly got identity papers showing I was Polish. I never let on that I understood German and learned that his sons were all fighting on the Russian front. He refused to pay me, but I stayed because I had food, enough to share with Polish neighbors. I was careful not to antagonize my cruel master, whose hatred exploded one day with bad news from Russia. I listened as I ate supper.
How can it be? All 6 of them dead? All my sons gone? The Russians will pay for this! The Russian dogs have killed my brothers and my sons, and all I have left is a Polish pig? Why should I make a good life for him when my sons lie dead in the snow? Huh? You tell me why! Tonight, I'll fix that Polish boy. Das Schwein will learn how it feels to die. I'll kill him.
That night, I stuffed a sack with my few belongings, some bread and cured meat, and wearing as much clothing as I could because of the snow, I slipped away from the home I had known for a year. Somehow, I would survive. I went to Warsaw briefly, then spent the rest of the winter as a vagabond, wandering from village to village. During spring, I met another Jewish boy. I told him I also was Jewish. After several months, he returned to the ghetto to see his parents. He was captured and dragged away by the German soldiers. I watched as the German army stormed the Warsaw ghetto and killed all the Jews who had dared to rebel. That summer, a Polish family in a nearby village took me in, and I spent a year there. When one of them asked me to commit sabotage by cutting telephone wires to the German air command, I did, and I was caught. Once again, I pretended not to understand German as they interrogated me, so they brought an interpreter.
First, tell me who it was that sent you here.
No one.
How did you come?
By myself.
Who gave you the wire cutters?
I found them.
Ah, we have a clever one here. If you tell us the truth, we'll let you go. Who sent you here?
This was sport for me. Adventure. I saw the wires, so I cut them. That's all.
Encourage him, Sergeant. Now, tell us the truth.
I did.
Throw some water on him, and then let him go out and follow him. If he doesn't tell you, he'll take you to the others. Kill him.
A soldier followed me as I staggered to a nearby village where an old woman saw my wounds and made such a fuss with the soldier that I escaped into the woods where I hid until nightfall. Under cover of darkness, I found my friends who nursed me back to health. By then, the Russian army was near. My friends had disappeared and food was impossible to find. I moved on, working or scrounging for food, always trying to stay ahead of the warring armies, the bombing, the starving, and the dangerous citizens. When war ended, Warsaw lay in ruins, like my life. A deep depression settled over me. How would I find my family?
Henrik! You survived!
Yes, and so did you. I only hope my family is alive. Have you seen them?
No, but this is not the only Red Cross center. There are others all over Europe. Someone has been found alive.
What are those numbers on people's arms?
The Germans did that when they sent them to concentration camps.
Oh, it's unbelievable, isn't it? To be free again. No more armbands, no more hiding.
No more Gestapo. Mm. But the Polish people are now incarnate of us. I'm getting out of Poland.
Can you?
Yes. There's a Jewish group that helps resettle people.
I have to find my family first. Nothing else matters.
Henrik's search would take him farther than he knew. Listen to these letters that come to us from the Middle East, and you will understand why we have Unshackled translated into Arabic and broadcast throughout the Muslim world. From Yemen, this man writes, I am a Muslim who came to Christ by hearing about Jesus in the Christian radio and especially your wonderful program, Unshackled. Another man writes from Jordan, God used a small radio and a wonderful program called Unshackled to change my life and bring me to His love. Please send me a Bible. From Morocco comes this letter. I began to listen to Unshackled a few months ago. This program changed my understanding of God completely. Before hearing Unshackled, tradition and customs were what controlled what I believed. Now it is a living God that comes and lives in my heart and is able to act in my life. I like to tell the whole world about this new and exciting faith, yet as you see, I am even afraid to write to you my name. The time will come when I will be able to proclaim my faith in Him. To learn more about this ministry to the Muslim world or to have Unshackled broadcast in Arabic in your area, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please include your address.
I rode the rails, hunting all over Europe, but there was no trace of my family, no record of them anywhere. I returned to Warsaw disheartened and wandered the streets for weeks. Then my friend suggested I go to the Promised Land with other refugees. and hope blossomed in my heart. After nearly a year of waiting and a terrible storm at sea that nearly took us under, I arrived in Israel, where they gave me a new name, Zvi, and taught me a new language. I was immediately caught up in the war for survival there. Now, these guys who made these guns must be working for the Arabs. Half the time they misfire.
Did you know you were standing on a famous place?
Famous for what?
How well do you know the Bible?
I've never read it.
Then I'll tell you. This is where Joshua fought a great battle against the Amorites. He commanded the sun to stand still, and God heard him. The sun didn't move all day. The Bible says the Lord fought for Israel that day, and I believe God will fight for us again. Tonight, we will have victory.
I hope you're right, but I don't think God has much interest in what goes on here now.
They're calling a retreat.
We can't move. We're pinned down by those machine guns.
We've got to get out and dine them first.
There's no place to hide. No cover.
Dodge me! I'm hit!
I'm coming!
It's bad. I'm bleeding bad.
Don't worry. I'll get you out of here, Carl. Hang on! Our losses were enormous. But I was not hit as I carried him out on my back. When we were safe again in camp, I sat outside alone with my thoughts. I could have died that day. I had been a fool. It was not my strength nor my wits that had saved me. It must have been God. But why? Ours had not been a religious home, so I didn't even know God. But one thing was certain. I wanted to know him now. So I started reading the Hebrew Bible. One day as I read outside the barrack, an older woman came through handing out little black books.
I'm from Switzerland. I'd like to give you a book.
What kind of book is it?
A New Testament, written in Hebrew.
And what is a New Testament?
It's part of the Bible. It will tell you about the Messiah.
Well, I've heard something about the Messiah. All I know is the name.
Well, then this book will answer your questions. There is only one stipulation in my giving it to you. You must promise to read it.
Well, I'll be glad to read it, but my Hebrew is poor.
You read slowly, and you ask the Lord to help you understand what you read.
What's that you're reading, Shri?
Part of the Bible.
I didn't know you were a religious Jew.
I can't say that I am religious, but this book says many good things to me. I don't understand everything yet, but I'm interested.
Is it Torah?
No, it's the New Testament.
That's not a book for Jews. It's just fairy tales made up by Christians.
I've read this book for many days and it hasn't done me any harm.
If you're smart, you'll get rid of that book.
Finally, the war ended, and I began to sort out my life. But I couldn't stop reading the book. The parables the man Jesus told drew me like a magnet, and I carried the book everywhere. By then, I was also working in construction. One evening, as I passed through town, I heard singing about this Jesus and stopped to listen. Every night, I went back, but no one was there until Sunday. I was afraid to enter, afraid they would chase me away. The following Wednesday, I worked up the courage to enter. How strange it all was. I listened enthralled as a man spoke about Jesus, and I couldn't wait until the next meeting.
Read the Torah and see for yourself. God says only the blood sacrifice makes atonement for sin, because the penalty for sin is death. Even the prophet Ezekiel wrote in chapter 18, verse 20, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." But God, in his great love for us, sent the Messiah to die in our place, to pay the penalty for our sins. Just as God provided a substitute ram instead of sacrificing Isaac, he sent his only son, Yeshua, as a lamb without blemish to make it possible for us to be saved from our sins. Verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 53 is for you, my friend. It is speaking of Jesus when it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And hundreds of years later, the Apostle John expresses the same truth in his first letter to the believers, chapter 4, verse 10. "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins."
I was there every Wednesday and Sunday for weeks, soaking up the teaching, croaking out the songs. I loved what I heard. And yet, one night I went back to my barrack feeling depressed. As I lay on my bunk, I suddenly saw the problem. I needed to do something about what I heard. I needed to be saved. After the next meeting, I spoke with the pastor.
"How can I help you, Zvi?"
"Well, tell me what I must do to be saved."
"I'm delighted to tell you. But this is a very serious matter. It's not something you do lightly."
"Oh, yes, I know. I've been thinking about it for a long time. But I must have peace with God. And I know it can only be found through Messiah."
"If you accept Jesus as Messiah and Savior, you will be in for trouble. It's very difficult for people to live openly for Christ here in Israel. You may suffer. So you must be very sure, absolutely convinced it's what you want to do."
"He suffered for me. It will be a privilege to suffer for him."
"Good. The next question is, do you believe in Jesus as the Messiah? And are you willing to accept him as your Savior and Lord?"
"Yes, yes, without any question."
"Let's pray together."
Peace and joy flooded my soul as God's love filled the void in my life left by the loss of my family and the trauma of war. When my boss asked why I was so happy and I told him about my salvation, he called me a traitor and fired me. Within days, God gave me another job. Some of my friends did not understand either.
"How could you do this thing after what the Christians did to you?"
"I've read the New Testament many times, Carl, and Jesus speaks only of loving and helping, never hating and killing."
"But you're a Jew."
"Yes, I was an empty Jew. Now I've found peace. And who did this for me? The one who came to earth as a Jew, with Jewish followers. Carl, my friend, I cannot help how you feel toward me. But King David once said, 'When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up.' If I no longer have your friendship, then God will do this for me. But I will never stop being a friend to you."
"Zvi, you're right. Please forgive me. Our friendship does not depend on what you believe. I will be your friend as long as I live."
God brought into my life a beautiful Jewish girl, and I fell deeply in love. She went to the believers' meeting with me for many months. I wanted to marry her. "Esther, will you become my wife?"
Yes, Zvi. I would be honored to be your wife.
"You know, I am a believer and your family is hostile to my faith. Mm. You will have problems because of what I believe. Life may be very hard at times. I don't want you to say you accept Jesus as Messiah just because you are married to me. If you believe on him, it must be your own choice."
"I'm not a child, Zvi. I know you believe in Messiah, and I am learning to love him too. I am ready for whatever will come to both of us."
"Then, let's find a rabbi to marry us." Esther and I were married and moved into an apartment big enough to invite friends in to visit. And our first visitors were believers. After they had gone, our landlord pounded on the door, angry that I had allowed Christians on his property. When he learned that I, too, was a believer, he flew into a rage and told us to move out and then left.
"I can't believe the way he acted."
"Did you hear him say I was no longer a Jew? He's willing to call me a Jew if there's a war and I have to fight, Or if an Arab plants a bomb here in the neighborhood and I'm the one who disarms it, but when he disagrees with my religion, I'm no longer a Jew.
He sounded as though he means to make trouble for us.
Never mind. He'll get to know us and it'll be all right. But it wasn't all right. I'd come home and find Esther in tears because the neighborhood children had taunted her, even thrown stones at her and pulled her hair. I tried to talk with the landlord again, but he was implacable. We couldn't move, so I asked the Lord to help us. Two nights later, I heard a big thump above us. I rushed upstairs and found the landlord had collapsed with a heart attack. I rode with him in the ambulance to the hospital and went to visit him every evening. One night when I got home, I had some news for Esther.
How is he?
Coming home tomorrow. Do you know what he told me tonight? I am the only person who came to visit him during these past 2 weeks.
He has no friends?
Oh, none like Jesus. He thought I was helping him for money. I told him I don't want his money. I helped him in the name of the Lord.
Maybe he'll let us alone now.
He apologized, Esther. He said we would have no more trouble from him.
Oh, hallelujah!
The Lord has been so faithful. Esther was expecting our first baby when I was called away for Army Reserve duty. I came home just in time for the birth of our daughter.
What do you think?
Oh, she's the most beautiful baby in the world, Esther.
What name shall we give her, Svi?
I'd like to name her Ruth, after my mother.
Oh, good. Then Ruth it is.
God has been so good to us. My life was so bleak in Poland, and now look what he has done. He's made me rich beyond measure. What a God.
You look so happy, Svi.
I am. We had big discussion at camp, and I had a chance to witness to a big group of men.
They listened.
Yes, yes. They couldn't understand how God could have a son. I reminded them how God was able to part the Red Sea, and they believed that. And God gave Sarah a baby when she was old and barren, and they believed that. And God fed our fathers in the wilderness for 40 years with manna.
Oh, nothing is impossible with God.
That's what one of the men said. And it's true. Look at what he's done in my life.
Friend, if you would like to know the living God who died and rose again for your salvation, there's no better time than right now to turn from your sins and invite him into your heart and life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's according to Romans chapter 10, verse 13. If you need help in this crucial decision, you're invited to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Email can be sent to unshackled@pgm.org. This is program number 2508. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Your letter means a great deal to us, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. And visit us on our website at www.unshackled.org. When life is more than you can take, call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462.